Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS developer based in Herndon, Virginia. This is show number 71, and today is Tuesday, August 15th. Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get started. All right, so first, I'm back from vacation. I had a great time. It was nice to have a bit of a break from work, and it's good to be back on the regular schedule. So in case I've had a couple people ask, you know, I'm sort of everything's back to normal. Should be two shows a week, roughly Tuesdays and Thursdays, with the interview series kind of interspersed without that. And talking of the interview series, I'm just delighted to report that it seems like people really liked the first one I've done, the one I did with Matthew Bischoff. I guess it's 2 weeks ago now. And I think at this point, it's probably the most downloaded episode of Developing Perspective I've ever done, which is definitely encouraging and motivating and helping me, you know, sort of keep doing those. It's definitely an interesting thing to kind of step outside of a comfort zone because, I've been doing Developing Perspective for over a year now. This is episode 71 of the main episodes. I've pretty much got this down. Doing interviews is a whole new skill set, and so I'm encouraged that you guys seem to like it, and so I'll keep with it. And I can actually announce that the next episode I'm going to have is with Bill Dudney of many things. He's an author, a trainer, was an Apple evangelist for a while, and he'll be the next guest on the interview series, which will probably be released tomorrow. So probably look for it tomorrow, Wednesday, August 15th. All right. The topic I'm going to talk about today is coming out of yesterday's episode of Build and Analyze. And specifically, it's talking about a question that was brought up to Marco by Ulrich Dam of RoboCat Apps. And basically, he was asking a question which boils down to, I'm an app developer with a broad portfolio of apps, some of them successful, some of them not so much. And whenever I put time and effort into the apps that aren't very successful, I feel like I'm kind of throwing that away. And is that true? Is that a good way to think about it? Is that a reasonable way to think about it? Or should I be making sure that I'm kind of investing and working on these other apps to see if I can turn them into successes and help them around the corner? And I think it's a question that I certainly have talked to a lot of developers with myself, that it's a common problem of how do you allocate your time, especially if you're just an independent, if you're just, you know, just one guy, or just a couple of people, like how do you take your time? You know, your time is one of the few things that's actually limited in your, you know, in your ability. There's some things that you can do other, you know, it's like if you need money, well, you can get it in a variety of ways, from loans, from friends, from VCs, from all kinds of ways, but you can never get more time. And so how do you allocate that time is a really important thing. When I think about it in terms of updating applications, there's basically three reasons to update an existing app. There's to fix bugs or existing issues. And so there's something in the defined feature set of the application. You have some part of that that isn't working as you would like it, that isn't working as designed. And that's certainly going to be problematic. You're not going to, you know, that's not good for anybody and not for your users. So definitely pretty much always want to fix those. If that's the reason for an update, go ahead and fix it. Then you have compatibility updates and fixes. These are things that relate to OS updates. So Apple releases iOS 6 this September, and these are updates and fixes you're going to make to your application are the ones to make your app not work poorly on those platforms. There's a second category, which is also important, which starts to get into features, which is taking advantage of new features and functionalities of a new OS, which is a compatibility update, but really falls mostly into the third category, which is adding features and building and improving the application beyond just fixing bugs and making it compatible with new hardware and new OSs. And that third one, the adding features part, is, I think, really the crux of this question. The first two, I would say, are fairly no-brainers in the sense of, like, it's usually a good idea if you're putting something out for sale to make sure that it's not bug-ridden and that it works on the latest hardware. So in that sense, you pretty much always want to do those things. Adding features is where it gets tricky. And usually what you're trying to do here is balancing either spending your time on, I guess there's three areas that you could spend your time on. You could work on new apps, you could work on updating successful existing apps, or working on somewhat unsuccessful existing apps. It's interesting for me. I think I certainly have not necessarily a unique position, but I'm certainly a position of some authority to talk about these types of questions because I have a fairly unique app portfolio. If I log into iTunes Connect and look at my developer account, it says that I have 557 apps, approved apps in my app portfolio, of which there's, it's about 400 or so that are still in the App Store. Many have been pulled for various reasons and things. Within that, that sounds like a pretty big number, and believe me, it's a little bit nuts. But within that, there's probably about 40 unique app concepts or ideas that I've implemented over the couple of years that I've been doing this. And so I've gone through this many, many times of deciding, when do I want to cut off an app and start working on something new? When do I want to reinvest and continue to invest in an existing app and make it better and better? And I mean, it's crazy when you think, it sounds like a crazy number that I've worked on 557 apps in the store. In the App Store itself, though, there are something like 707,000 apps. And I was looking it up on 148apps.biz, which is a great has a great metrics section talking about app submissions and these kinds of things. And they say that like right now, on average, there are about 793 new apps approved each day. So it's a pretty nutty marketplace to be working in. And if you consider the fact that in my experience, probably games aside, but if you're not in the top 25 or so in your category, you're not really doing well. It's hard to build a sustainable business on that. If you take that in mind, 23 categories, 25 apps making money, probably on both free and paid side of that, you're talking about maybe there's probably, 1,100 to 1,200 apps in the store that are doing well and making sustainable businesses for their developers. And that's kind of depressing if you think about it in that way. And that number is probably lower than the people who are actually making a good living with it. The number's not, if you have 700,000 and you have a few thousand, whatever that number is, maybe it's 20,000 or whatever it is, apps making good money. It's a hard thing to find a hit. It's a hard thing to find an app that is really hitting and being successful. And I feel like when I try and define sort of the reasons for success with something, when you're building an app, you're excited about it. You're excited about its features. You're excited about what it's doing. It's always important to keep in mind that ultimately it doesn't really matter if you like your app. It only really matters if customers like your app. If customers think it's awesome, if people are going to tell their friends about it, if they're going to buy it, at the end of the day, what you really need is them to open up their wallet and give you a few bucks. And defining why they want to do that is incredibly difficult. I mean, if I had the magic formula to define, this type of app with these features and this look will be successful, I would just keep making that app and be a millionaire. But that, I don't think anyone has that formula. The X factor. There's this amorphous thing that's kind of intangible that defines if customers are going to like your app. And some of that's timing, some of it's luck, some of it's polish, some of it is competitive landscape. There's all kinds of things that go into that. And at the end of the day, if you don't hit, in my experience, it's almost impossible to turn that around and take a failure and make it a success. There are a few examples of that do that, but more often what I've seen is people who take the kernel of a good idea from one app and turn it into something new. They create a new app around the kernel that was excellent in their old app. That's far more likely to succeed than to continuing to polish and iterate on an application that's been in the store for a while and just didn't have any traction, didn't do well. And having that perspective, though, of being able to sit back and say, I'm probably my number one fan. I think this app is great, and I want to keep making it better and better and better and better because I think it's awesome. The problem is you and your friends and your family and people who are around you are likely going to think your app is cooler. Not necessarily than it is, because I'm not saying your app's not cool, but it's not cool for the people who are going to matter from a financial and a business perspective. And so my general advice is if you have an app that's not performing well, maybe you give it a 0.1 release. So you put it out. If you get it, especially if you get like a little bit of a burst and then it starts to fall off and you're kind of trying to decide, what do I want to do? What do I want to do next. It's like if you have like a few sticking points, a few bugs, go ahead, fix them, and see if that sticks. If it doesn't, move on. And it's kind of a harsh thing to do, and it's kind of a rough thing. Hopefully it's cushioned a little bit by understanding that in a broad sense, your real goal is to become the best developer you can be. And tackling new projects and making lots of mistakes is the number one way that you're going to be a good developer. The more mistakes you've made, the more experience you have, the better you're going to be at doing the thing that you're trying to do, to hone your craft and to be skilled in it. And so at some point, you just kind of have to give up and move on. And generally, that's what I've done. And a lot of my apps, some of them I've pulled, some of them I haven't. I've just sort of abandoned. I mean, it's kind of crazy when I think of I have this huge portfolio of apps of all different kinds. You know, I've only really ever had two big hits, audiobooks and my recipe book. Those two apps have been successful in a way that I would say is, you know, sort of successful. They've been in the highly ranked in their categories and made pretty good income. And they form the bulk of my income. And then all the other apps I've made, I've failed, I guess you could say, like with 40 out of the 40 unique concepts I've implemented, I've failed 38 times. And you know, on one hand that's depressing, but ultimately don't think I could have had those two successes if I hadn't failed all those times. Audiobooks, you know, my most successful app is developed out of a kernel of an idea that I had in one of my first apps, which was it was a text plus audio reader where it played an audiobook with text that scrolled in sync. Turns out people didn't really like the text part because they're using their phone, you know, they're listening to audiobooks in the car on their commute, and so they don't really care. And so audiobooks, the main app that I have, is just that minus the text with more books. And that was the nugget. And that was the lesson I learned, was to try and find what is it that people like, what is it that people are interested in, what parts of this can I use? And it was great as a developer, I could reuse a lot of my existing code and experience to make, you know, to make that app. And I think audiobooks, the first version, was about, you know, 40 hours of work because I was building from past experiences and I had just had some time to work on it. And so I feel like that's the best way to approach it. If you have something good, if you have something that's making a lot of money, you kind of want to nurture and tend to that. It's kind of in some ways, I think, almost a bit like I imagine my app portfolio kind of is like an orchard or a garden or something, where I'm going out on these adventures and finding new species and new plants, and I'm bringing them back. You know, every time I'm building a new app, I'm going out and finding this new thing and putting it in my garden. And if I put it in and it thrives, it seems to be doing really well, it's healthy and well, I'm going to want to tend to it, nourish it, maintain it, make sure it's doing well. If it's the wrong climate for that plant, that doesn't mean the plant is bad, but that plant can't grow in my garden. And so if it starts wilting, at some point I'm just going to have to dig it up and move on and find something else to put in its place. But being somewhat, you know, ruthless in that, I think is really helpful for helping you, for helping you get there. And I mean, it's kind of a funny thing to say, but honestly, sometimes I feel like I want to make sure I get my money's worth from Apple. You know, I pay Apple not much money. I mean, I pay $100 for my developer account, and I submit a lot of apps, and I try a lot of concepts, and it's a lot of, I guess some people call them like minimum viable products or whatever, where you're trying to take a concept, an idea, flesh it out. You want to execute it well. It's not sort of like shovelware in that way, but it's rather than worrying about trying to ship the moon, just shipping, you know, small, it's like just ship something small and manageable that you can test the frame, you can test the market with, see if there's something there. Sometimes it's your test. I mean, I think a little bit of David Barnard's Launch Center, where he had this idea and he built the first version, Launch Center, which did fairly well. It had good, reasonably good success, but it was when he took the kernel of that idea and then took that and built it really developed and fleshed it out into Launch Center Pro, was when it seems like it really got traction. It was a top 10 overall app, and was a pretty successful thing for him, I think. And that's, I think, the better way to think about those failed apps. It's like, okay, what can I do to salvage out of this? And then what can I do to build my new thing? You using the lessons and the technologies and the experience I have in this existing thing to make it better. And that's kind of the way I do it. It's a little harsh when you've worked on something for a long time and it doesn't work out, but that's life. All right, that's it for today's show. I hope you enjoyed it. As always, if you have questions, comments, concerns, contact me on Twitter. I'm _ David Smith there. I'm also on app.net now, David Smith without the underscore. And otherwise, I hope you have a good week, happy coding, and I look forward to talking to you soon.